kids in here, it might be a little bit crazy sometimes, so I want to prepare everybody for crazy. But at the same time, we're starting a series that I think the kids will enjoy and something that a little bit different for us. We started this last year. It's called At the Movies. What we know is that when Jesus taught, he always used parables. He would find things that everybody knew about, and he would take things out of those parables to use a story that everybody kind of had a idea already about, and then tie those parables into deep spiritual thoughts and ideas that you can live your life from. And the closest thing that we have to stories and parables in our modern culture are movies. It's a shared thing that we all kind of share. In fact, you know, many of you probably have seen some of the new movies that have come out recently, and it wouldn't be hard for me to say something about Infinity Wars or something about another movie that you've seen, where instantly we would be connected on the same thought. So what we do during this series, it'll be 4 weeks, we're going to take clips from popular movies from the last probably 5 or 6 years, and we're going to talk about how the stories in those movies, actually, if you dig down, you'll find out that those stories of love, those stories of family, those stories of encouragement, the stories of good over bad, they're really just reflections of what God has in his word. So today, with the kids in here this Sunday, we're going to look at Finding Dory. Now, some of y'all might not know this movie. Several years ago, a Disney came out with a movie called Finding Nemo, and it was about a little fish that gets lost and his dad trying to find him. And there was this one fish in there that helped his dad, and her name was Dory, and she had short-term memory loss. And just a real cute story. But what I like about the Finding Nemo and the Finding Dory, it's about family. It's about the importance of family. So today, we're going to look at Dory. We're going to look at her search for her family. But we're going to talk about this, our search to find our place in the family of God. And so we're going to look at those two things. We've got little two-minute clips, about four of them, that we're going to go ahead and look at. We'll look at the first one right now, and then we'll talk about how that applies to us. So let's watch our first clip.
Try to remember better. Don't be such a Dory. Dory? Hold on. What? Did you remember?
I don't remember. It was something. It was, it was something about,
the Jewel of Morro Bay, California?
My family! I remember my family!
They're out there somewhere. I have to find them. Guys, you gotta help me. Guys! Guys! Where did you go?
You were the one to go.
My parents. I remember them.
Wait, what did you remember?
I remember them. My mom, my dad. I have a family. They don't know where I am. Let's go.
Dory,
we have to go.
No. This is crazy. Where exactly are you trying to go?
To the gym of the Baltic.
The Jewel of Morro Bay, California.
Yes.
No, Dory. California's all the way across the ocean.
Then we better get going.
How come every time we're on the edge of this reef, one of us is trying to leave? For once, can't we just enjoy the view?
How can you be talking about the view when I remembered my family?
No! We've done our ocean travels. That part of our lives is over. The only reason to travel in the first place is so you don't have to travel ever again.
Yeah, but I wanna...
Dory, look.
Please. All I know is that I miss them. I really, really miss them. I didn't know what that felt like. Do you know what that feels like?
Yes, I know what that feels like.
I don't want to forget this. Somewhere out there is my family. Please, Marlin. I can't find him on my own. I'll forget. Please help me find my family.
Yeah, Dad. You can get us all the way across the ocean, right?
No. But I know a guy.
Woo! Righteous! Righteous! Righteous!
All right, so in this opening scene of Dory, what we see is suddenly she comes to the realization that she needs a family. That she has a family, that somewhere out there, she has this deep understanding that there is more to it than what she's thinking about, that there is a family out there. And you saw, when she had that realization that her family was there, she had those memories, there was nothing that could stop her because it was such a deep longing to connect. Here's what I want you to hear me say today. And our first point is that we are all called to connect with a church family. We are all called to connect with a church family. I mean, just like Dory knew that her family was out there, I want to tell you this today, that every person has a God-sized hole in their life. And some of us have found Jesus, some of us have found that connection, but there is a urging and a longing inside us to connect with other believers. I want to show you real quick, Acts chapter 2. If you go to Acts chapter 2, this is just the picture of the first church. When the church first got started, after Jesus had died, Pentecost had come. And if we look in Acts chapter 2, in verse 46, it says, every day, so verse 46 of chapter 2, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Did y'all catch that? It said when the church started being what the church was supposed to be, it says that God started adding to their number. Now how does God do that? How does God add to a church? And this is what I'm going to say, is what God does is he starts stirring up inside people that need to connect to a church body. As the church body starts doing what it's supposed to do, God starts stirring up in people the desire to connect with God. Guys, everybody out there that we see, every day of the week, inside them, there is a longing to connect with God. There is a longing to connect with God's family. Maybe they don't even realize it. Maybe they don't understand. In fact, you know, you see people joining things, you know, joining clubs, joining groups, joining, you know, even gang mentality. That there's something inside them that says, I'm supposed to be a part of something bigger. I'm supposed to be a part. And I want to tell you, if we can understand that every person that we meet it needs to be part of God's family. Colossians 3:15. Let me turn over there real quick. This is a secondary verse that kind of goes along with that. Colossians 3:15. There it is. Colossians 3:15 says this. It says, coming back over. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace and to be thankful. It's, you know, the reason that people are so unpeaceful, you know, the reason that people are struggling is that they've been called to a body where we can find peace with everybody. Do you realize that over 20 times in the Bible, the church is connected with this saying, the body of Christ? The body of Christ? I mean, it's like this thought of every person we see out there is supposed to be connected to a body. So I know this is a weird kind of thought, but people that you meet are kind of a finger. And they're a disconnected finger. How odd is that? Maybe I should have done a horror movie or something where you see a disconnected finger or a disconnected hand. And they may not realize that they might be out there living as that finger, not realizing, you know, what they could be or what they could do. But if they could ever connect to the body, connect to a hand that's connected to an arm, that's connected to a shoulder, that's connected to the nervous system, then suddenly they found out that all these gifts, all these different things that they have, that they've wondered, why am I able to do that? Why? It's this idea, if they could connect, then suddenly they would be like Dory. They would find out, man, I've had this longing to be connected to the body the whole time, and I didn't even realize it. What if we started really believing that? What if we started really believing? You know, there's a, it's in Waller proper. There's over 2,500 people just in the in Waller proper. Isn't it, right? I think 2016, that was the census here. Of that, you know, obviously less than 50%, probably way less than 50%. That means over 1,500 people are out there disconnected from God's body. And if God says, I've called people, I've put it in them, a desire to connect. Yeah, if we went out just going, man, how many people do I run into a day that are disconnected? It would blow our minds. You know, do we see people as having a longing and a desire to connect with God's people? And do we approach them in that idea? I think it would revolutionize our church if we did, if we started thinking, how can we help them meet that need? I don't know if y'all saw this. Probably someone laid this on my desk. This is today's Houston Chronicle. Prime property, it says. Prime property section. And it says, Wolf Company is betting on US 290. And right there, it tells us that right across from Bucky's on 362, the Wolf Company has just bought 500 acres. And in that 500 acres, it's behind the swamp shack. 200 and something acres of that is going to be business. 250 acres they sold to another company called Long Lake Limited, who has a master plan community that will contain 1,000 homes. Guys, I can't tell you anything about the people that are going to move into those 1,000 homes. They said they're going to get the dirt work done this year. Starting in 2020, they're going to start building those houses. You figure if there's 1,000 homes, three people per home, you know, average, 3,000 people are going to be right over there. I don't know anything about them. I don't know where they're from. I don't know what kind of church they like. I don't know you know, their monetary, where they're high. I don't know anything. I don't know anything about them, but I do know one thing. That in each of those 3,000 people, God has put a longing to connect with a church. And there's a desire there. And you know, you kind of say, well, Blake, I know a lot of people and they have no desire to be part of a church. None. If you bring up church to them, they're going to tell you they have no desire. And I'm going to tell you, it's not their fault. It's our fault. And if we start seeing that thought, there are people out there that don't even realize the desire they have to be part of God's family. And we start doing what we're supposed to do within God's family. We're fixing to talk about that. That suddenly God's going to do a lot of things. I put this article, I copied it, and there's copies out on the back section. So if y'all want to get a copy of that and read about what's going on. That's a half a mile from our 44 acres. Half a mile at the most where those homes will be. Kind of neat. All right, we're going to go to point two, and we've got this clip to kind of illustrate that. Oh, wait, before you play it.
There you are.
Oh, listen up. I forgot I was supposed to set it up. Dory and the guys, they've gone across the ocean to where she's from. It turns out that she was raised in a place where they rescue fish. And at this place where she rescued fish, she actually makes it back there, gets into the place, actually starts meeting some fish that were there when she was a little girl. And she meets this guy right here, this octopus, and he's trying to get out to be sent to a pet store. And she has a little tag that when they captured her and put her in there, that tag can help him move on. And so she said, "You help me find my family, I'll give you this tag." This is kind of the scene. He's trying to help her, but you'll see what happens. Okay, go.
You and I are square.
Hey.
I took you to the map. Now give me that tag.
Wait, no. I know where my parents are. They're in, what's it called? The place, soap and lotion?
Open ocean.
Open ocean? I know where that is. That's the exhibit located right next to... I don't care.
Easy.
If you're trying to get to the open ocean exhibit, just go through the pipes.
Through the pipes, great.
Through the pipes?
Yep, take two lefts, swim straight, and you'll hit it.
Oh, that's a lot of directions. Did you get that, Hank? All that?
Yeah.
Great, let's go.
I'm not going with you. I won't fit. You have to go by yourself.
I can't because I'm not so good with directions.
Well, that's too bad. A deal's a deal. You wanted to find your parents? That's how you get to them. Now give me your tag.
But Hank, I can't go in the pipes alone. I'll forget where I'm going.
Not my problem. Tag.
But I can't get in that way.
Well, I'm sorry, but there's no other way.
There's no other way.
There's no other way.
Now, don't panic.
It's okay. You know, not everything in life is easy to do. Isn't that right, Charlie?
Yeah, your mother's right. When something's too hard, Dory, you should just give up.
Charlie?
A joke.
I'm kidding. Just a joke. A joke. Caution. Joker at work.
Joke, I got it.
Seek help, Cake? There's always another way.
Thank you, Daddy.
Thank you, Daddy. Nope. My father said there's always another way.
What? There is no other way.
Open ocean. Open ocean. Open ocean.
Open ocean. I'm pretty sure it's the building over there that's ill-defined and roundish, like Bailey's head.
Wait, what?
There's always another way. There's always...
There.
Guys, follow me. I know how we can get to locomotion.
Open ocean.
Exactly.
Guys, you know I can't swim over there, right?
So in this clip, we see that Dory is still trying to find her parents, and she runs into a roadblock. She runs into something that it's hard. There's a chance that she should just give up. But what she decides is that she's committed to finding her family. She's committed. So here's what I want to tell you today, that as a church family, we need to be committed to our church family. We need to be committed to our church families. I want to show you in Acts chapter 2. We were there just a few minutes ago. In Acts chapter 2, that first church, let's read in verse 42. So a little bit before what we read just a second ago. In verse 42, it says this. It says, they devoted. You can circle that word. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. You see, that's what a church does, right? You know, the teaching, the fellowship, the prayer. They said, if we're going to be a church family, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to be devoted to each other. We're going to make a commitment. I always kind of say that commitment can kind of be like a dating relationship versus a marriage relationship, right? In a dating relationship, you're just kind of trying it out. You know, I'm going to see if do I like this person. Do we get along? Is this something good? In a marriage relationship, you're committed. You say, you know, good things, bad things, I'm with this person. And here's what I want to say today is that so often in our culture in America today, when we look at saying our church family, really what we're saying is I'm dating this church, right? I'm trying it out. I'm going to, you know, and you might date the church for a year, 2 years, and that's fine. I mean, I like people that come in and say, hey, I want to see if we will fit in here. I want to see if we can be part of the culture of this church. But here's the problem with dating rather than marriage is that when that hard thing comes and you just got a dating relationship with the church, that's when you leave. You know, that's when you say, hey, that I don't like the way that preacher's preaching. I don't like what someone said to me in Sunday school. I don't like what I heard in the hallway. I don't like the fact they're doing a movie series. I don't like the fact that, you know, the finances aren't right. I don't like that. And because I'm just dating that church. I'm just coming on Sunday morning and you know, I'm listening to Pastor Blake, but I'm just dating the church. I feel perfectly comfortable saying, hey, it's getting too hard. I'm getting out of here. In fact, I think we should maybe make some t-shirts with what Dory's dad said on it, right? When things get hard, give up. No. And why not? Right? You know, when things get hard, give up. No, that's for a dating relationship. Listen, we've got to learn that we want to be committed to the church. And when things get hard, instead of giving up, we should what? Find another way. You know, maybe you don't like some things. Great. Get in there and work with us and help us find another way. Get in there and help us. Let me show you another verse. Romans 12, 4 through 5. Romans 12, 4 through 5 says this. It says, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. It says, we need you belonging to all the others. If one thing is falling down, if you see something not working, when we realize we're part of a body, we're committed to each other, we belong to each other, hey, what we're going to do is, instead of giving up, we're going to get in there and try to help. We're going to get in there and try to lift up the things that aren't working well. Let me ask you, are you committed to this church? Are you committed to attendance? Are you committed? Are you saying, listen, I commit. I commit. I'm going to come to church. I mean, that's the first step, right? And then when that Sunday hits, when there's a little bit of rain falling, and you've been out in the yard all day on Saturday, and you're just tired, and there's a good football game coming on, and you got to, and here's your thought. You know, if you're in a dating relationship with the church, you might say, hey, listen, you know, I'm just not going to go to church today. But if you're committed and you say, you know, that church isn't going to function the way it's supposed to function if part of the body is missing. And I'm going to do what I can. Now, I understand there's vacations. There's times when you need to be away. I understand that. But if it's at all possible, you say, listen, I'm committed to that church and I'm going to be there. We're in a marriage situation with my relationship with the church. We're not just dating. You know, we've got those 44 acres. We got 1,000 homes coming in. But we can't make that move with a congregation full of people who are just dating our church. We can't, because it's going to be hard. We got to raise $3 or $4 million. How in the world? And I know one thing. I know God's going to bring the money, but it's going to be hard getting to there. And there's going to be times where you just kind of go, man, this isn't worth it. If we're going to make that move, we've got to have committed people. You'd be more than just coming sometimes. You know, maybe you need to commit by membership. Maybe say, today I want to join this church. And I want to put down, I want people to hear me say, this is my church. And no matter what goes on, I'm going to be here to help move us forward. Maybe you need to get into a Sunday school class. You know, like I said, I love y'all coming in here and hearing me talk. I love to talk. I'll do that anytime, all the time. But for your needs, you need a group of people that knows what's going on in your life. And you need to commit to that, because we'll get to it in just a second. That's going to be the next point. I'm jumping ahead. But you need that. And that's part of committing to a church, to say, I'm willing to go in there and start just opening the door of my life just a little bit to allow the body of Christ to come in and encourage and help me. Maybe it's in service. Maybe you need to find a place to serve in this church. And you might just come up to me and say, Blake, is there anywhere I can serve? And sometimes I'll forget. So come up to me again and again and again and say, I am committed to this church. Find me a place to serve. Maybe it's financially supporting us. Yeah, I've got a story about that I'll tell you in a minute too. But if you look at the bulletin, I mean, we're about $10,000 down this year. We've spent $10,000 more than we brought in. Now, luckily, we have a storehouse that we're pulling from to cover that problem. But listen, if we're all in here and saying we're committed, and I'm gonna give a little bit to this church. You know, I'm gonna be committed in that area. You know, maybe it's in service, maybe it's in membership, maybe it's in Sunday school. I don't know. But I'm gonna ask you, if you look at your life and you say, I'm dating this church, remember Dory. Dating means you might give up, but commitment says you will find a way, and I want a church full of committed people. All right, let's move on to the next point, and we'll watch the next slide from, I mean, the next clip from Dory. All right, pause it again. I keep on forgetting to set it up. We're skipping through large parts of the movie here to get to it. In this scene, Dory and her friends, they had jumped into this baby carriage you saw right there at the end of the last one. And somehow or another, she gets over to this open ocean exhibit. And when she gets there, she finds out that when her parents lost her, they went after her. And so she tries to get to where she thought they might have gone, and they weren't there. And then so she kind of goes through a drain to escape. I think actually she gets kind of washed over into a drain. And this drain feeds out into this kind of murky area that's just right outside this rescue area where she grew up. And that's what we're seeing here. She's seeing these shelves leading to this one little house.
Hello. I'm
Dory!
Dory! Oh, my baby. Come here. Let me look at you. I'm never letting you go again.
Let me see, girl, you're here.
It's you.
Yes.
It's really you.
Absolutely.
Mom, you're actually here. You're...
I am.
And Dad, so are you.
Right here, Kelpcake.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, honey.
What?
Oh, honey, no. Kelpcake.
I know I've got a problem. I know I'm so sorry, and all this time I wanted to fix it, and I can't, and I try, but my thoughts, they leave my head, and ideas change, and I've forgotten you, and I'm so sorry.
Dory, don't you dare be sorry. Look what you did.
What?
You found us.
That's right. You found us.
Honey, why do you think we stayed put here all these years? Because we believed one day you'd find us again.
Exactly.
But I thought you were gone. How did
we
you...
We went into quarantine to look for you, but you weren't there.
Yeah, and we knew you must have gotten out through the pipes.
Through the pipes? That's right, sweetie, and so we did too. And we stayed in this spot for you ever since.
Because we thought you might come back. So every day, we go out and lay out...
shells.
And you found us. Oh, honey. You found us, and you know why you found us? Because you remembered. You remembered in your own amazing Dory way.
I did. All by myself.
Oh, honey, really? Have you been by yourself all these years?
My poor little girl.
Oh, I haven't been all by myself. Marlin and Nemo!
Nobody saw where Dory went? Seriously? That's a lot of eyeballs doing nothing.
Oh, excuse me, can you help us? Will we...
So in this scene, we see Dory reconnected with her family. And what I want to say from this is when you're a part of a church family, you need to learn to care for your church family. I mean, isn't that a beautiful idea of what happened? They cared so much about their daughter. They cared so much about someone that was a part of their family that they said, we're going to stay right here in the murky area. We're going to put out shells every day. You couldn't see that picture very well, but here was their little home, and there was all these radiant kind of rays of shells going out because they knew if Dory ever saw one of those shells, she might follow the next and the next and the next. They cared about Dory, and their actions showed that they cared. Ephesians, if you look over past Acts and Romans, you'll hit Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, it says this, from the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Here's what it said. It said the body will grow and it will build itself up. The body of Christ will grow and build itself up in love as each one of us does its part. Is each one of us loves each other? Do we have a caring church? Do you care about the other people that are in this room? How do you care about someone? I wrote down four different ways. One, you could give and receive, because we know as we give, we're going to receive back encouragement. Encouragement. We can encourage people. How are you doing in encouraging? Romans 1, verse 12. I won't read it, but it says, we are supposed to mutually encourage each other. Does anybody here need some encouragement? Well, nobody? I do. You good. Anybody else need some encouragement? Let me kind of look, because I might want to come and encourage you, because the Bible says that we're supposed to be mutually encouraging. That means I'm supposed to encourage you, and guess what I get back? Encouragement. How are we doing at that? Are we doing good at encouraging? Maybe if our church isn't building up and being healthy, it's because we're not taking time to encourage each other. It kind of goes back to what I said a while ago. If you're just coming to church, nobody even knows how to encourage you. You know, when you get into a Sunday school in a smaller group, yeah, you've got to be open a little bit, and you've got to kind of make those relationships. But when the hard times come, they're going to be there to say, hey, you can make it through this. Encouragement. Number two, in a church, you can give and receive comfort. Comfort. Comfort's a little bit different than encouragement. Encouragement, you might just be encouraging them to do better in their business, encourage them to do better at school, encouragement. But comfort says that they're hurting right now. Maybe there's been some kind of loss. Maybe they're in some kind of bondage. Maybe there's something where they're really hurting. And in 2 Corinthians 1:4, just write this one down. 2 Corinthians 1:4, it says, we are to comfort as we have been comforted. Have you ever been comforted? Has God ever sent somebody to comfort you in your time of need? It says as a church body, you're supposed to then go out and comfort someone else. We need to be a body encouraging each other, comforting each other. Next one, we are to give and receive motivation. Motivation. Now that's different than encouragement and comfort. Motivation is kind of that honesty that we need to give somebody. That kind of kick in the rear to kind of say, get going. You can do more than what you're doing right now. They might not even realize it. A great verse is all, you don't have to turn here, I'll read it to you. In Ecclesiastes, way back near Psalms, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 11, it says, the words of the wise. So get around some wise people. It says, the words of the wise are like goads, G-O-A-D-S, goads. They're collected sayings like firmly embedded nails, given by one shepherd. So that's a confusing verse. I don't know if y'all, I read that and I was going, what in the world does that mean? Because I've heard before, as we're talking about motivating someone, we need to goad them on. Have you ever heard that saying? And I've never thought about that. I've never thought, what does goading someone on mean? But the reason that this talks about goading and nails is because in the shepherd environment, a goad is a stick with some sharp, pointy nails on it. And when you want that animal to move, you goad it. And so when it says the words of the wise are like a goad, like a sharp nail, something to kind of give you that poke to do what you can do. Listen, that's part of what we're supposed to be as a church. We're supposed to be looking at each other and going, I see something in you that you don't even see in yourself. I see the ability within you to work with kids. I see the ability within you to teach, maybe adults. I see the ability in you to be an encourager, to be a prayer warrior. I see this ability in you, and you don't see it, but luckily, I got a nail. And I'm going to poke you a little bit. And it might not be comfortable, and it might not make you happy, but because we're committed to each other, as you poke me a little bit, I might go, well, what do you know? You were right. You see, we can be a place of encouragement, of comfort, of motivation. Here's the last one, of help. Of help. Can we help each other? Romans 12:13. Let's turn back over to Romans right after Acts. Romans 12, verses 13 says this. Let me get to it. I lost it. 12:13. Well, I'm going to read 12:12 and read 12:12 and 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in afflictions, faithful in prayer. Verse 13, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Watch it. He said, be joyful. Church, be joyful. Be patient. Help each other out. Faithful in praying. Because of this, we are supposed to share when someone is in need. Are you helping people? Do we even know what kind of needs each other of us have? And part of that is, we don't tell people that we need something. And there's so many people in this church that are just so, so willing to help out. But they never know the need. Are we a church that helps? We said earlier that all people out there have this desire to connect to the people of God. But you know and I know that if you go out there to a lot of people, they'll say, I don't want to have anything to do with that church. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Why is that? And I think part of it is because the church is sick. We don't do these things. We're not encouraging. We're not comforting. We're not motivating. We're not helping each other. And so as an unchurched person, a finger disconnected, right? I'll look at that body and I go, that body is full of cancer. That body is sick. I don't want to put my finger connected to that body. But if the unchurched people of Waller, Texas, saw a church that cared about each other and helping with each other and motivating each other and encouraging each other, don't you think they'd say, I want to be a part of that? I met with a guy this week. He needed help. And as I'm sharing with him that our church likes to help, he needed some help with his rent. And I just started telling him about our church. And I just said, hey, sometimes our church just takes up a special offering. They just take up some money. We just go on a Sunday morning, we just take up some extra money so that we can help people that walk in that door. And he's kind of excited. Wow, this church takes up money to help people that walk in the door. And I said, I don't know how much money we got in there. I said, I've got to look at the needs and stuff like that. I said, but maybe we can help you because our people love to give. And then I start talking to him. I said, what about your home church? Oh, I'm not part of a home church. I said, well, you know, what's disconnecting you from church? And he looked at me and he said, I went to this really big church one time and this pastor got up and he looked out over the congregation and he said, we need to raise money for Africa. Y'all need to give some money so that we can help people in Africa. And he said, I just thought all that church wants is my money, so I haven't gone back. I just started thinking. And you could see on his eyes, all of a sudden that thought hit his mind. Wait a minute, that pastor just said that church took up money to help people. And I'm here needing that help. And he's not here today. But I'm hoping there's a seed there. Where before he thought it was just a church wanting his money. Now there's a seed that says, no, church is about people giving money to help others. And I'm praying for him. Name's Jesse. Y'all pray for him too, that him and his family might show up here and we can just love on him. Listen, I don't know if this is the right place to say it, but we've got to get healthy if we want to grow. We got to do these things. I'm just going to say this once because I don't want this to be a negative sermon, but there's a lot of negative talk going on in our body. Isn't that sad? I mean, I hear it. You hear it. Here's the sad part. I do it. I don't know if y'all do. I see something I don't like, and all of a sudden I'm. You see something you don't like, and suddenly, instead of being this encouraging body, we're this cutting down body. Man, I just hope that when you see Dory, maybe the next time you're fixing to cut somebody else down in this church, instead of saying that negative word, I hope you see that family, those little fishes. I hope that just rushes back into your mind that a family is about caring for each other. And that's what we need to be. I can't stop on that. Putting out the shells, I'm going to go ahead and throw that one out there. I think that's a beautiful picture of the church. Are we setting it up so people can find our church? Are we putting out the shells? All right, I got one more clip and then we'll be finished. Go ahead and roll that last clip. Oh, pause it! Didn't need a lot of setup, but in this clip, because she'd met her family, all of a sudden she remembered that her friends are back in that truck. You know, that truck is that truck fixing to take them to a pet store somewhere. And she goes, I've got to get back to my friends. And so in this clip, her whale friends and her parents have helped her get back to where the truck is, flipped her up in the air, and somehow or another gotten her inside that truck. In there, she sees all her friends, and she starts saying, how do we get out of this truck? They lock her up in the truck, and all of a sudden, they notice there's an escape hatch up top. So her and the octopus climb up through the escape hatch, get to the front of the truck, kick out the drivers, and in this scene, Dory, in a little water cup, is telling the octopus how to drive the truck to get back to the ocean. Let's watch that.
Both go to the ocean, right!
Hold on! We're out of time, kid. Where do we go now?
Okay, I'll figure it out. I don't know, but well, something will come and, Seagulls! Hank, follow those birds! The ocean's left, Hank!
Ooh, hold on. Ooh, I'm getting something.
Is it that? Is everything perfect?
Uh-oh, it's the fuzz. Busted!
Okay, we're good. The ocean! Get straight ahead for it!
Now we're talking.
Uh-oh.
What do you mean, uh-oh?
Oh, no, what would I do? do? What would I do? What would I do? What would I do? Hank, I'm going to ask you to do something crazy.
I'm okay with crazy.
All right, Hank.
Ooh, there's no way out. It's over. They're going to fish jail. Ooh, wait. Ooh, oh, no. Ooh, get back.
Incoming. I see trees of green. Red roses, too. I see them blue. For me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. They're really saying, I love you.
What lies before you represents the third and final part of the Marine Life Mission. Rescue, rehabilitation, and release.
Come to Papa!
I'm Sigourney Weaver. Thank you for joining me.
And they made it. Last thing I want you to see, as part of a church family, we need to learn how to celebrate as a church family. In that video, as you see these fish and they come out of the back of that truck, and the first, it's the horror of we're flying through the air, and then all of a sudden you see the smile come over their faces. You know, we just accomplished something. And my favorite part is the dad fish down there. And as the truck and Dory are hurtling at him, he's going, "Come to Daddy." A celebration that his daughter just did something. Listen, we've got to celebrate at a church when we see something good. Colossians, if you'll flip over to Colossians 3:17. In Colossians 3:17, it says this. It says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." We need to learn how to give thanks to the church when something great happens. The question is, do we celebrate? You know, do we celebrate? Do we celebrate when something great happens? Let me tell you some stuff that's happened at our church. We had, I done lost the number. Do y'all remember how many kids got saved at Vacation Bible School? Was it like 10? Yeah, 10 kids. Did you celebrate that? I mean, all the hard work that went into Vacation Bible School. Have you gone up to Shannon? Have you gone up to Eric and just said, "Wow, I am just so excited about what happened"? What about the church mission trip? When people from our church joined in with other churches. Listen, if we weren't doing the mission trip, there's other churches that wouldn't even get this opportunity. But because Joel had a vision for Mexico, not only our church, but other churches are going down, helping with an orphanage where kids are just left. And our church is doing that and building things and sharing Christ. Are you excited? Did you celebrate the fact that this summer our church went on mission for God? Did you go up to Joel and say, "Man, great job"? What about benevolence? We were just talking about that. You know, we give money to Warm so that Warm can help people. But just in the last few weeks, we've helped two different people with their rent. We bought beds and frames for a family that didn't have beds. They were living in an apartment, but they were just sleeping on the floor. We've helped people with gas. We've helped people with clothing. Have you celebrated the fact that our church is reaching out into the community? Even Freedom Fest, we gave money. We set up a booth, and on Tuesday, if you weren't there, Tuesday night, from the stage for a city or thing celebrating 4th of July, we were able to share the gospel with hundreds and hundreds of people there to watch fireworks. You know, have you celebrated the fact that our church is reaching out? Last Sunday, we put on a picnic, and we just said, "Invite some friends." We had a 15% increase in our attendance that Sunday. Have you celebrated the fact that God is drawing people to our church, and all we need to do is figure out what we can do here to open the doors, to let them see a loving, caring church that they want to connect to? Last thing I want to say on that, is in that last little scene, Dory's dad looking up, two things are happening, right? One is his daughter just did something incredible. The other is there was a truck hurtling at him. Did y'all see that? I mean, there was a semi-truck headed straight at that fish. But what was he focused on? He was focused on what his daughter just did. And he was trusting, I'm guessing, that God was going to take care of the truck. Listen, in our church, what are you focused on? Because you've got two choices, right? There's some stuff happening here that you just kind of go, ugh. Or that could be bad. That, Blake, that could be a truck hurtling at us right now. And you could focus on that, and our entire focus could be on the negative. Or you could choose to say, I'm going to celebrate what's happening here. I'm going to be part of it. And I'm going to trust that God's going to handle that truck. I'm not saying ignore it. I'm not saying don't pretend like it's there. But I'm saying trust God and celebrate what he's doing. That's Dory. But more than that, that's our call for our church. It's all about family. It's all about being part. And it's all about going out and finding those people that need to be part of our family here. We're going to enter into a time of invitation. You know, maybe God said something to you today. Maybe during the time of caring where you just say, hey, God, I'm going to make a commitment to you today that I want to be more involved in a Sunday school or more involved in things going on. Maybe God's been tugging at your heart to say, you need to commit to a church family, connect with them. Maybe today you want to come down and join the church. Maybe there's something else God's doing. But we're just going to take a few minutes and we're just going to have a time where we offer an invitation, whatever God's doing, that if you need somebody to talk to, come on down.